Gideon. He's a crime lord. No one knows much about him, what he looks like, where he lives, except he's got absolute control of dream fuel distribution across the city, and the people who work for him are very serious about their work. And now they're limiting the supply, just when everyone's become addicted to it. Maybe I should have a word with Gideon. Don't get any more involved than you have to, Tanner. Gideon is extremely bad news. You sound as if you're speaking from experience. I am. Zebra walked to the window and ran a hand over the glass. I told you about Mavra already, Tanner. My sister, the one who used to love this view. I nodded, remembering the conversation we'd had shortly after arriving here. I also told you she was dead. Well, Gideon's people were the people my sister got involved with. They killed her? I'll never know for sure, but that's what I think. Mavra believed they were strangling us, withholding the one substance the city needs. Dream fuel's dangerous stuff, Tanner. There isn't enough of it to go around. And yet, for most of us, it's the most precious substance imaginable. It's not just the kind of thing people kill for. It's the kind of thing people fight wars for. So she wanted to persuade Gideon to open up the supply. Nothing so naive. Mavra was nothing if not a pragmatist. She knew Gideon wasn't going to let it go that easily. But if she could find out how the stuff was being manufactured, even what the stuff was, she could pass on that knowledge to other people so that they could synthesize it for themselves. At the very least, she'd have broken the monopoly. I admire her for trying. She must have known it might get her killed.
Yes, she was like that. She wouldn't give up a hunt.
Zebra paused. I always promised her that if anything happened, I'd pick up where she left off.
Something like that.
Maybe it isn't too late. When all this blows over, I touched my head. Maybe I'll help you find Gideon.
Why would you do that?
You helped me, Zebra. It would be the least I could do. And, I thought, because Mavra sounded a lot like me. Perhaps she had come close to finding what she was looking for. If so, those who remembered her, and I counted myself as one now, owed it to her to carry on her work. There was something else, too. Something about Gideon, and who he reminded me of, sitting spider-like at the dark center of a web of absolute control, imagining himself invulnerable. I thought again of Kaweya, and what had passed through my mind in sleep. The dream fuel you gave me, is that why I had such strange dreams? It does that, sometimes, especially if it's your first dose. It's working its way through your brain, tinkering with neural connections. That's why they call it dream fuel. But that's only half of it. Does that make me immortal now? Zebra let the smoke-colored gown fall away from her, and I pulled her to me, looking into her face.
For today, yes.
I woke before Zebra, dressing in the mendicant clothes which she had washed, and quietly paced her rooms until I found the things I was looking for. My hand lingered over the huge weapon she had rescued me with, which she had just left lying in the annex to her apartment as casually as a walking stick. The plasma rifle would have been a useful piece of artillery on Sky's Edge. Using it inside a city seemed almost obscene. On the other hand, so did dying. I hefted the weapon. I hadn't ever handled anything exactly like it, but the controls were placed intuitively, and the readout showed familiar status variables. It was a very delicate weapon, and I didn't rate its chances of surviving very long if it came into contact with a trace of the plague. But that was no reason to leave it lying around, almost inviting me to steal it.
"Careless, Zebra," I said. "Very careless indeed."